the church say amen. Amen. The church say amen again. Amen. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. God bless you. God keep you is our prayer. We thank the Lord for those of you who are here at 8 o'clock and those who are planning to go to the park at 11 o'clock. How many of you are going to share with us a little bit later this afternoon as well? I know you're here at 8. It won't hurt to get another dose at 11. But if you don't come to 11 service, do come at 1 o'clock for the start of the fellowship. Let's stand to our feet together. Let's bless the Lord in word, as we have already done in song and in prayer. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts. I want to go to the last, or the third to the last chapter in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26, verse number 22. And actually, I want you to go a little earlier, go back a few verses in 26 to verse number 15 and 16, then we'll end with 22. So Acts 26, verse number 15. And it says there in verse 15, chapter 26. So I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness." Somebody say witness. "Both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." Now I'll go over to verse 22. "Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing," somebody say witnessing, "both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify God's people. I want that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon, "A Witness a Day Helps Keep the Devil Away." A witness a day helps keep the devil away. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that your word would not return void. I pray that it will accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged. May minds be illuminated. May souls be convicted. I ask right now, Father, that you will continue to manifest yourself in this place. I ask right now that the anointing from you, Holy Ghost, would fall fresh in this place. I ask right now, Jesus, that the blood that you shed on Calvary's cross would cover all of us in this place. Father, have your way now. And God, we shall be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. For you alone, God, you're worthy to be praised. We love you and we thank you and we honor you and we magnify you and we give you all the glory. For you, God, are worthy to be praised. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name, that all God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So today, as we officially ended Vacation Bible School 2 days ago, last Friday, I want to use these two Sundays as a recap, if you would, of the major theme of our 2012 Vacation Bible School. I want to thank Sister Marva Morris-Guidant and Sister Minister Kathy Malloy and all of the dozens and dozens of volunteers who gave of their time over these past 2 weeks to teach our children, to coach our children, to guide our children, and at times to discipline our children. Amen. Amen. And I want to thank our adult volunteer teachers who did an extraordinary job of coaching and leading our adult facilitation and classes here in the sanctuary, and certainly the children's teachers and everyone who, again, instructed and taught. We're grateful to the Lord for the fact that we could have a two-week vacation Bible school. Most churches only do 1 week. And we're thankful that the robust gifts that God has given into this sanctuary allows us to do two. I almost pushed the idea of three next year. They said, Pastor, you crazy. We're barely getting two in. So we're going to pray about making sure we continue to do what we do it, continue to do it well. But thank God for the 2 weeks that we have had. Our prayers that you have been blessed by it, those of you who came and those of you who did not come. We certainly invite you to put this on your calendar every year, the 2 weeks preceding our church fellowship, which is today, and the week prior, and the week prior for the last 2 weeks were our vacation Bible school. Same thing for 2013, 14, 15, and on until the Lord comes. And so we certainly invite you to have a great time with us this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Look forward to a great time in the Lord. But those 2 weeks prior are always reserved for VBS. And I want to make sure that our church is cognizant of that. And that's how we are trying to facilitate what we do in biblical instruction for adult and child alike. So the theme that we use was the title of the text from the Urban Ministries Incorporated Agency, which is the largest Christian educational organization that publishes educational material for urban churches, particularly with an urban slant, to understand how the gospel is applied in our urban areas, not to the slight of suburban or rural areas, but I'm grateful because often that has not always been the case, that we've gotten Christian education material that speak to folk who live in Trenton, raised in Trenton, born and still connected to Trenton or cities like Trenton, Newark, Camden, Patterson, Jersey City, Bridgeton, Millville, hopscotch around the state and our urban communities. This is a great resource for us. And so the theme of the text, the title of the text was Tell It, Shout It, right? How to be a witness for Christ. And it's that word witness that struck me over these last 2 weeks, that really what we are training folk to do are to be disciples of Jesus, to be witnesses for Jesus. Amen. That we want all of us who are in the house of prayer to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus and to learn what does it mean to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. Because I am convinced you really can't be a disciple of the Lord and not be a witness for the Lord. Right. There are some who want to kind of relegate. I just want to follow Jesus, but I don't want to go out there and talk about him. Amen, somebody. But if he's been good to you, you really can't help but talk about him while you follow him. Because the very nature of the fact that you say you know him and he's been good to you compels you to go out there and share him with somebody who doesn't know him. Amen. We ought to be disciples and we ought to be witnesses. Now, what is fascinating is that this word witness occurs over 167 times in both Old Testament and New Testament. And when you look at the meaning of the word witness, it in Greek particularly has, as I mentioned last week, the idea that you're blessing God. To be a witness is taken from that word eulogeo, which means good word, logeo, Logos in Greek means word, and eu means good. So eulogio is the root word for eulogy or eulogist. And what a eulogist does is give good words. And so one who blesses the Lord is one who gives words that magnify and glorify the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's what it means to be a witness. And yet I use those other words. To be a witness is to be a martyr, to be persecuted for Christ. To be a witness is to be an evangelist, to go out there and tell the good news of the Lord. And so it's one thing to tell others about the good news, but it's another thing to talk to God about how good He is. And so there's this vertical, horizontal thing that is always going on in our relationship in Christ. To be a disciple is to do the vertical and to do the horizontal. To be in Christ is to know God and to tell others about God. To be in Christ is to be covered under the blood and to speak about the blood, right? To be in Christ is to be a disciple and to be a witness for the Lord. And so this word witness is powerful. It wasn't really until this 2012 Vacation Bible School that I was compelled to delve deeper a little bit into the word study of witness. And when you look at it in its Old Testament context and its New Testament context, it smacks you across the face and say, wow, I need to pay attention to this word. This word is powerful. This word is meaningful. This word is impactful. We've got to be a witness for the Lord. Amen, somebody. And so over the last 2 weeks, 5 days for 2 weeks, we've studied what are the tools of witnessing. And we used the book of Acts, chapters 15 or 16 on, that really spoke about Paul's witness and evangelism out there in the Greek world, the Asia Minor world that is currently Turkey and the Greek islands and what then, in some cases, still known as Macedonia and Corinth and Philippi and many of these places that Paul went out, not by himself, but not with the encouragement of the folk who actually walk with Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? Because put this scripture of Acts 1:8 says to us that this is our foremost leading charge to what it means to be a witness, right? Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The second part says, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That Jesus said, I came, I died, I rose, I ascended, now the Holy Ghost is coming, that you might be witnesses to me. He didn't necessarily even say disciples to me. Right? But be witnesses to me. Now, he already made the disciple pitch in Matthew 28. Go into the world and make what? Disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe the things that I have taught you. So we've already got the Great Commission. Now this is a great charge that we are to go out. Make disciples and be witnesses. And that is what we are to do in 2012. Make disciples and be witnesses. I don't think I can get any plainer than what I'm given today. Matthew 28, make disciples. Acts 1:8, be a witness unto the Lord. So it is not enough just to come into the church and sit. I just need to say it that way. It's good that you're here, but are you witnessing for the Lord? It's good that you're getting, but are you giving it out when you leave? Enter into worship, depart to what? Serve. It's not good just to be a bench warmer, be a pew member. You've got to be a witness. Your witness may not be how I witness, and how I witness may not be how you witness, but guess what? We're all called to be witnesses. He didn't die for us to sit on a pew. He didn't die for us just to come in on Sunday morning. He didn't die for us just to keep it to ourselves. He died, he bled, dead. He rose again that we can go out and hold up the bloodstained banner and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and to let somebody know what he's done for me, he can do for you. You've got to be a witness. Tell somebody, I was where you were. I'm where I am now. I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I was. I am a witness to what God can do in your life. We've got to be a witness. It says it in the scripture. And it says it many other times. And so we go then from Acts 1:8 to Acts 26, right? I didn't write this one down, but go back to your Bible. Look at verse 15. Paul is recounting his call to ministry, isn't he? And if you look a few verses before that, Jesus says what to him? Why, Saul, doth thou what? Persecute me. Right? This is your own witness. You're persecuting me. You're not helping the cause. You're derailing the cause. Why are you persecuting me? And this is his aha moment. This is Paul's conversion experience. This is Saul's moment of confrontation with God. And he says what? Jesus goes on to say to him, what? In verse 15, I will make you a witness. I will make you a witness. I saved you, I changed you, I converted you, that you would be a witness, not to your old way of living, but to your new way of living. There's a song that I remember growing up at Holy Light and Greater Friendship where I was ordained. It talked about moving out of my old house and moving into my new house. And we've even sung it here. It's a powerful image of what does it mean to move out of where you were and to move into where God wants you to be. Some of us are still moving, but don't let go of your U-Haul. Keep packing your stuff. Keep moving on in to your new house, because there's some old stuff you need to let go in that old house, but come on and move into your new house. And so 26 then, the verse for today is the same or similar. 26:22. Put that on the screen. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this I stand, witnessing both to small and great. Now, interesting that Paul says what he says, small and great. Small in title, great in title. Paul is on a journey. After his name was changed from Saul to Paul, God had him on a journey. And that journey took him on three different missionary journeys. That journey took him before young slave girls and other great economic powerhouses like Lydia and others, Priscilla and Aquila. Some we know by name, others we don't know by name. But Paul was no discerner or respecter of persons to whom he witnessed. Wherever God sent him, he witnessed. Come on, somebody. And that's a lesson you and I need to understand as well. Right? Some of us get bigger when we stand before bigger people. Then we want to start getting a little bit taller, and we want to get a little bit more sophisticated, and we get a little bit more high-sedity. But you need to be able to witness to the crack dealer as well as to the business dealer. You need to be able to witness from the crack house to the White House. I can be able to say, I can go on Spring Street, and I can go on Pennsylvania Avenue. Wherever I go is not because of me, but because of the God that is inside of me, that I can be a witness for the Lord. Be a witness wherever God sends you. We are called to be disciples, and we are called to be witnesses. So as we studied over these past three weeks, these 10 tools of what it means to be a witness, some of them were prayer and praise, some of them were study and the word, and you need all of them. And we thank God for the study that we had over these last 2 weeks. But I always like to draw out and distill out three words that you often hear me say: prayer, praise, and piety. So these three words I want to offer to us today as the root anchor words for not one text, but a multiple of texts all found in Acts chapters 15 through 28. So the last half of the book of Acts is all about Paul and his ministry of going out to be a witness. And the first 15 chapters, or 14 if you would, is really about Peter and James and other apostles who after, right, Jesus' ascension and the Holy Ghost descending, that we find them doing what God called them to do, being a witness. Peter preaches the first sermon in the Christian church. 3,000 souls get saved. But ironically, it's that same Peter that said, folk who were not Jews, who accept Jesus, they ought not be, there's another step that they need to take. And Paul was the one that defended the gospel and said, it is by grace that you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Stop that stuff, Peter. Stop saying that there's an extra step. Because think about that for a moment. If there was an extra step, many of us wouldn't be saved. It is only by God's grace that you and I are saved. If we had to do extra steps, speak in tongues, or, you know, walk on water, or, you know, change bread into, you know, multiply fish, right? We couldn't do all that. It is by faith, by grace, by faith you are saved, right? Through grace, the grace of God. And so we understand that we who are witnesses are saved by God's grace through our faith. And we thank the Lord for it. So Paul, then in chapter 15, goes to Jerusalem, defends the gospel. Peter changes his position on this thing. And Paul goes back out to do what? He goes out to continue being a witness for the Lord. So when you really read the second part of the book of Acts, which is a continuation of the gospel of St. Luke, Acts go together, then you begin to read, you really understand this continuity of the gospel, that Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose, Jesus ascended, and the Holy Ghost came, and the Holy Ghost is still here, empowering us to be witnesses to the Lord. We cannot be witnesses. The Holy Ghost had not come. It's precisely because the Holy Spirit came that you and I can be a witness, because against all odds, we're supposed to stand up and be a witness. And that's what we see in the latter part of the book of Acts, in the first part as well, really in the entirety of the book of Acts. So I want to use three different texts or three different verses that speak about prayer, praise, and piety, which are the root, I think, tools of what you and I need to be witnesses for the Lord. We need to know how to pray. First word, right? We need to know how to pray. Grandmama used to say, you know, you need to know how to get a prayer through, right? Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. If you're not a prayer warrior, don't be surprised when you cannot fend off demonic attacks that come against you and or your family. What strikes me is in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul finds himself in prison, and or he's on his way to prison, and it says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination. A spirit of divination is really a spirit that is antithetical or opposite the will of Almighty God. So this little girl was possessed. And it was interesting. This is, again, an account of spiritual warfare. And so as they were about to go in to pray, this little girl, we don't know her age, but she is possessed with a spirit of divination. She comes, and that Paul begins to challenge that which Paul and Silas are doing for the Lord. And as we get the story unfolds, we understand that Paul literally rebukes this demonic presence out of this girl, and the folk who possessed her or who were using her, who were literally prostituting her, right? It says they got angry. And because they got angry, when you start messing with folk money, that folk get angry. Right? Now, if some folks start messing with your money, you may get a little angry too. But what's sad was this girl was being used. And so it is no coincidence it's not coincidence nor happenstance that Paul and Silas were attacked. Paul was attacked. And as he was attacked, he landed in jail. And as they were in jail, the storyline of Acts 16 unfolds. But prayer. They are in jail praying and singing. I'm going to get to both in a minute, but I want to just stay on prayer, because we often talk about sending up timber, and we often talk about getting a prayer through. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Approach the throne of grace boldly, that you may find help in your time of need. These are verses that help us to understand that God hears and answers prayer. How many of you really believe that prayer changes things, and prayer changes people? I'm a great believer that before you see it in the physical realm, you need to utter it in the spiritual realm. Before it is manifested in the tangible, you need to utter it in the intangible. You need to fall on your knees and go into your prayer closet, and you need to learn how to get a prayer through. You need to say, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, where else can I go? You need to learn how to communicate with the Father. If you don't have a prayer life, then I sure enough will show you a defeated life. But if you've got a prayer life, I will show you victory. I will show you miracles. I will show you doors that open that no man can shut. If you've got a prayer life. This contemporary gospel song by Mary, right, that talks about, you don't know how long I pray. You don't know. What you see is only what you see on the outside, but you don't know what I've been doing on the inside. What you see is the manifestation on the outside. And it's all right to have a nice car, a nice house, nice clothes, but you don't know what I've been through in my prayer closet. I've been on bended knee. I've been praying to the Lord. I've been beseeching the throne of grace, and now don't hate me because of what I got. You don't know what I've been through. It is a good message. It is right out of the Sermon on the Mount, Mary song, because the God who sees in secret, who hears in secret, will reward openly. You don't have to explain your blessing. Just say, to God be the glory. You don't know how long I've been praying. You don't know how long I've been on my bended knee. To God be the glory. For a God who has heard me in secret. Come on, somebody. Go into your prayer closet. Tell God about your needs, about your desires, about your challenges, about your enemies, about your boss on your job. Tell God about it. And watch how God begins to manifest in the physical realm that which has been uttered in the spiritual realm. Prayer. Jesus comes back down from the sermon, from the Mount of Transfiguration. His disciples had an encounter with demonic presence and they couldn't cast out the demons. Jesus comes down. He cast out the demons. The disciples asked, why couldn't we do it? Jesus' response was what? Right? This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. And so what we see in Paul's life is a prayerful man. Paul prayed. Second thing Paul did was praise. Right? And again, quintessential text, Acts chapter 16, the story of them being in jail in Philippi. And the story goes, put the verse up there, put the point up there. When praises go up, blessings come down. When praises go up to God, the Jewish theology in Psalm, put that screen back up. Psalm 22, verse number 3. Now, when you read it in its Hebraic form, it says this: you are enthroned in your praises. Listen to that. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, you are enthroned in your praises. Now, what we have interpreted that verse to mean is that God inhabits the praises of Israel. Right? So when Israel praises God, God is enthroned Listen, what does it mean to enthrone somebody? It means that you make them king. You enthrone them. When you, in your praises, utter the fact, sing the fact, worship the fact that God is Lord over your life, that God is king over your life, then God hears that kind of praise and he steps into that kind of praise. I believe that's what God is looking around the world. He's looking for folk who are ready to praise him. His eyes roam to and fro. He's looking for folk who are ready to praise him. And I believe that when he spots a praise go up, he either dispatches an angel or he steps into it himself. God steps into the praises of his people. Listen to what that means. That means wherever I am, whatever situation I find myself, if I just praise him, God will step into my praise. I can be like Daniel in the lion's den. If I praise him in the lion's den, he'll show up in the lion's den. I can be like Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Oh, y'all don't remember them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And I don't know what happened when they closed the door, but all I know is that when the king opened the door, he said, I threw three in, but I see a fourth one walking around in there. He'll step in to your praise. He'll step in to your household. He'll step on to your job. He'll step into your body. He'll step into your children. You just learn to praise him. God inhabits the praises. He is enthroned in the praises of Israel. It is a powerful text. So that is why, then, if you fast forward, that was an Old Testament. If you fast forward to Acts chapter 16, verse number, put that screen up, verse number 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. I already talked to you about prayer, but to prayer they threw singing. Now imagine they were probably fasting in there also, but they were praying and they were singing hymns to God. Now I'm just going to do a little point because it didn't say they were singing contemporary God. They didn't say they were singing Kirk Franklin to God. It didn't say they were singing Mary Mann. They were singing hymns. It was Betty. They were singing hymns. Ben and I often talk about the reality that we need to always mix it up. We need to have a gospel here, a spiritual there, a hymn here, a contemporary gospel there. Because if it's all going up to God, doesn't matter the genre of praise, you just better learn how to praise. Praise matters. And I love this verse. One of my ordination sermon was about this, is on this text. Right back in 1995, it was on this text. And like many preachers, I entitled it Revival at Midnight. Because it was a midnight revival at midnight. And midnight is colloquial for our darkest point of time. Now, it's a misnomer because it is darkest when? Just before the rising of sun. You need to understand the power of that. Because midnight comes, but that's not the hardest. The darkest hour is just where your breakthrough happens. The darkest hour is before you about to come out of your trial. The darkest hour is before you about to come out of your valley. The darkest hour is before you about to get off the mountain. So just when it's about to get hardest, don't give up the fight. Because that's the moment that precedes your breakthrough and your deliverance. A lot of us want to give up at midnight, but babe and brother, it's about to get harder a little bit later. But I need somebody who knows how to stay on the course. Don't give up the fight. Don't surrender. Don't give in. The darkest hour is just before day. And so this verse says that at midnight, they were singing and praising, singing hymns to God. And you know the story, earthquake, God hears the praises. I told you he'll step in Even if you're in jail, he'll step in. And when the praises went up, God's earthquake came down. And the Bible says that the jailhouse began to rock and it began to roll. It began to shake. And the Bible says the doors of the jail flew open. And the Bible says all the prisoners were about to go out. They were about to escape. But Paul, who was the reason for the jailhouse escape, said, "Hold on, brothers, don't leave." Because the God that opened the door will also be the God that keeps the door open. Come on, somebody. But I don't want you to miss the optimal phrase. They were praising and they were singing. And if you're going to be a witness, and the witness came to the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer was about to commit suicide because all these folk had left. And Paul put a stop to his suicidal behavior, his suicidal tendencies, and right, his suicidal ideations. And he said, "Hold on." And because of Paul's witness, the jailer and his family got saved. We're called to be a witness. So prayer is one way of witnessing or fuels your witness. Praise fuels your witness. Third point, and I'll go to my seat. Third point is that piety. Piety is another word for how we live. And so we must be willing to sacrifice daily for the Lord. It's one thing to say it. But it's another thing to do it. It's one thing to say you believe in the Lord, but it's another thing to practice your faith. It's one thing to talk about the goodness of the Lord, but it's another thing to live the goodness of the Lord. It's one thing to tell others that he can get you out of jail, but it's another thing when you see the jail doors open for somebody else. Come on, somebody. And it is often said, I'd rather see a sermon then hear a sermon any day. And so this whole aspect of how we live our lives matter. And that's what I love about Paul's witness. It is throughout these six chapters, 16 and 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 and 22 that Paul is persecuted because of his witness. He goes into synagogues and the Jews begin to persecute him. He goes before, right, economic folk who don't have any religion and they begin to persecute him. He goes before religious and non-religious. And they pray. He goes before kings and he goes before governors and he goes before rulers and they persecute him. Paul's journey is really one big persecution story. And the irony of that is because he was one big persecutor before he turned to be persecuted. Be careful, what goes around comes back around. And yet, I don't think this was a case of divine retribution to Paul. This was a case of I'm sold out for Christ. And he says, I've learned in whatever state to be content, whether I'm up or I'm down, whether I've got a lot or I've got a little, whether I'm being persecuted, whether I'm not being persecuted. I've learned how to be content because I know that when I'm weak, that's when I'm made strong. I know where my power comes from. So Paul's witness is made even more powerful by how he lives his life. And it is in chapters 23 and 24 and 25 and 26 that Paul is brought before successive administrations of leadership. Tried both in the court of a public opinion and literally before the court of law. And he is brought before Felix. Then he is brought before Festus. And he is on his way to be brought before Caesar. And in each situation, Paul goes through some stuff. So if he's not beaten before he goes to jail, he's often talked about while he's in jail. And then he's put on a ship that is sailing to Rome. But on his way to Rome, the ship gets shipwrecked on the island of Crete. Paul, everybody on board is freaking out. Paul says, be of good cheer. And they're looking at him like he's crazy. Don't you know we just got shipwrecked? And you're talking about be of good cheer? But there goes that witness thing again. When you are shipwrecked, Paul knows how to still be of good cheer. Y'all missing that point, aren't y'all? Some of y'all have been shipwrecked. Some folk in your life have been shipwrecked. They need you to be of good cheer, to tell somebody that even when you're shipwrecked, even when your ship has run aground, even when your ship has run amok, that you still got something to thank him for. Be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. He shipwrecked. The ship goes into splinters. Paul has a divine conversation with an angel. Paul says, I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know to whom I belong. Y'all hold out for a minute. And as a result of that, it says many were saved, clinging to floating chunks of debris in the water. And here again, some folk got saved because of Paul's witness. But it was how he lived his life. Be one thing if I just preached a sermon, but how he lived his life, Paul convinced others. And so the verse that I want to use with this, put that last verse up, is, right, then Paul answered, I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die for the Lord, for the cause of Jesus. And when you're sold out for Jesus, you're a dangerous weapon for the Lord. When you sold out for Christ, and the devil knows he tried this, that didn't work. Tried that didn't work. Try to come to your marriage, that didn't work. Try to come to your children, that didn't work. Try to come on your job, that didn't work. Try to afflict your body, that didn't work. Try to get the saints at the church to act like angst, that didn't work. Come on, somebody. Whatever he tried didn't work, because you're sold out. And I need somebody to be sold out for Christ. I'm a witness to him through my prayer. I'm a witness to him through my praise. But more importantly, I'm a witness to him through my life. You're not gonna let me, you're not gonna get me down. The joy of the Lord is gonna be my strength. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. God has been good to us. When you wake up, you ought to praise him. When you go to bed, you ought to thank him. On your job, you ought to glorify him. In the church, you ought to exalt him. But every day, you ought to live for him. I'm sold out for Christ. For Christ I live. For Christ I die. Paul was sold out. Bitten by a viper. Shipwrecked on an island. Whipped in jail. But still went to Rome and said, I'm willing to die because I know who I am and I know whose I am. How we live our lives before people matters. Stop giving up the fight. Stop throwing in the towel so easily. Stop capitulating. Stop letting the devil get the best of you. Stop letting them talk about you. Remember where you came from. Remember where you were. Remember where you are. Remember where you're going. Remember whose blood covers you. Remember who's inside of you. Remember who died for you. Remember who rose for you. Remember who's coming back for you. You are a child of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Live your life. Paul says if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. How we live piety. I'm not talking about being holier than thou. Forget that. I'm talking about staying the course, keeping your eyes on the prize, not giving up the fight, looking up to the hills, from whence cometh your help, because all of your help cometh from the Lord. Folk can say a lot of things about Daryl Armstrong, but the one thing they have to say, he don't give up easily. He's a little runt of a guy, but he knows how to move forward to do what God has called him to do. He does not give up I will not renounce my faith. I will go down believing that God is able to do everything but fail. I believe it. And I'm trying my best to live it. So it's one thing for me to pray about it. It's another thing for me to praise about it. But it's another thing for me to stand up and walk in it. And live it. And so if you do those three things, pray, praise, and live a life of piety, I believe you will be not only a disciple for the Lord, but you will be a witness for the Lord. Let the church say amen today. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, I need you to help me go out and extend an invitation to Christian discipleship. Someone here needed to hear this message, I believe. My prayer is that someone would step out and say, Lord, today is the day. This is what I needed to hear. And I'm stepping out and I'm giving you my hand. And I'm giving God my heart. So the choir is going to sing, and the first invitation, the most important one, is to relationship. Relationship to God, the Father, through the God, the Son, Jesus. And if you don't have that relationship, I want to offer that to you today. And secondly, if you do have that relationship, but you are not a member of a church, I invite you to come and be a part of this branch of Zion. Go ahead and sing, choir, and as they sing, the invitation is extended.